definitely not easy to say something like this to when the entire yeshiva isn't here. It's not an easy thing to do. The main people that I think that this would be more applicable to was, or at least my thought process was, my first thought was that this is more applicable to the people that aren't here rather than the people that are here. Then I thought about it, and it really hit me right before Mincha that it's not true. If they're not here, that means they're not considering this part of their yeshiva experience. If you're here, that means you're in yeshiva. And if you're in yeshiva, and Emunah Shemus is part of yeshiva, then this should be said to you. And even if not every part of this applies to you, I'm sure something can be taken out of this. And I want it to be understood that if you're in yeshiva, sometimes you need to hear this, and sometimes it needs to be done. Yaakov Avinu had been away from his holy parents for over 20 years. 20 years he's been away. He comes back from Laban after an unbelievably successful mission. I mean, not only did he get one wife, but he got four of them. All four daughters of Laban. It's very impressive. It's a 400% chance. It's unbelievable success. He had 11 children, possibly 22 children. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. 12 children that were born, possibly 23 children that were born, if you include Dina, and Dina didn't have a twin, and a pregnant wife back to Eretz Yisrael. That's what he was bringing back. You'd assume that the first thing he would do is run back to his father. No, run back to his parents' house and go get, I don't know, like a really good dinner and get a hug from his parents and sit down, like show off his awesome kids that can destroy entire cities of Shechem with their bare hands. You'd think that that's the first thing that he would do if he had such unbelievable kids and he had such an unbelievable experience. Mom, Dad, look, I have 600,000 sheep. This is going to be Klal Yisrael eventually. That was Dor Mabel, and Dor Plaga, and Dor Stone. It's all on them. You'd think that would be the first thing you do. You run over them and you show them off. But he doesn't. He doesn't. It's so strange. He buys land in Shechem. He doesn't even go home. He doesn't say hello to Yitzchak. He meets up with Esau, then goes into Eretz Yisrael. He's in Shechem. He buys land in Shechem, and he's about a day's walk from Be'er Sheva, where his parents are, and seemingly, it could be that he took a day trip and then came back. It doesn't seem that way, though. It seems he waits in Shechem, doesn't do a thing, builds houses for his kids and sukkos for his animals, and waits there for 2 years, maybe a year and a half altogether. And during that time, Rivka Aminu dies, and he misses her funeral. During that time, Dina is taken by the people by Shechem, taken, and why was he there? What was going on? And what was wrong that he had to wait so long to get back to Be'er Sheva? Why didn't he go straight to his father? It's funny, because he's punished for 22 years, but he could have gone in right at 20. Now, this is not my question. This is an old question. This is a question asked by the Rishonim. The Balei Tosfos ask it. The Ramban hints to it. The Ibn Ezra asked the question. What was going on? What was going on? It's not like he was so far away, and he did go into Eretz Yisrael. We only get an insight into the way he was thinking from the psukim that came right after he left Shechem. Says the following, and I'll tell you honestly, I wrote this up at a dinner that I was at on Sunday night, and there was a person speaking at the time, and I wasn't paying attention. But if a word all of a sudden makes it inside there, it's only because subconsciously it was there. It says that when he was ready, he told all the Shvatim, remove all of the strange gods from amongst you. Now, we don't believe that the Shvatim contained Avodah Zarah, and that they were holding on to Elohei Anichor, and that they literally had little getchkes in their hands as they were walking to Eretz Yisrael, or they were walking down from Shechem, and Yaakov even said to them, you know what, bad idea guys, I don't want you to have any Elohei Anichor with you, you probably shouldn't worship any idols. And the Shvatim were like, oh, I can't believe it, I thought I was going to be able to keep this little statue or this little doll or everything else that I had with us. Clearly that's not what the Shiftei Kol were holding. So what was the Elohei Anichor that they were holding on to? It's much bigger than that. In order to meet a gadol, two gadolim at that time, Yitzchak Avinu and seemingly Rivka Aminu was still around. He didn't know yet that Rivka Aminu was around, but if you go, you can't just walk in. You can't go in with all of your garbage, with everything that you have with you, and just walk into the gadol and just be like, here I am, take me for whoever I am. You should prepare yourself. You have to get rid of everything. He wasn't telling them to get rid of Avodah Zarah. He's getting rid of any shemets, any little tiny bits of garbage that you have with you. Get rid of it before you come see Yitzchak Avinu. Because it doesn't belong here. No longer does it go there. Around me, around Shem, maybe you can have that tiny little bit that you have inside you. But when you get to Yitzchak, prepare yourselves. Get yourself ready. You can't just walk in to such a person and look that way. Lahavdil, a billion havdalos, if not a trillion, if not whatever it is. Someone in Yeshiva was going to see Reb Druk last Sunday. And he said, what should I wear? Should I be wearing a suit? Should I be wearing a white shirt, black pants? What should I do? And I told him, you're going to see a Rosh Hashiva in Bnei Brak. You're going to see a Rosh Hashiva in Bnei Brak, you wear nice clothing. You don't wear jeans and a t-shirt. You don't wear just your regular shorts and your sports shirt and a little tank top. You don't do that. You're going in to see a Rav. You go in to see a Rav. That's what you're supposed to do. So I'm not going to tell you to wear a suit, but wear something nice. Dress yourself up a little bit because that's the right way to go in. You have to prepare yourself for such a person. You don't go in, and granted, that's only an external preparation. That's not an internal preparation. But nonetheless, that's the preparation that you need to go in to see something like that. Now, I'm going to be honest with you right now. I've been very upset with the amount of effort that a lot of you have put forth in your Seder. It's the amount that you've put into your Seder. Because I know you can do better. And I've been told, over this past week, I've been told, I should lose my expectations. I am not going to lose my expectations. That is never going to go from anyone here. My expectations are still going to be there. I've never, ever used the word potential for any of you, because that's not the way I work. I'm not a person who looks at, oh, you have such potential. That's not the way I work. And I don't like that word. It is not a good word to use. But I have expectations for you. I see you, and I see that there are certain things that every single one of you can do. And I don't think you're doing it. Somebody else told me, forget about expectations. Just give up hope. Just give up. What's the big deal? I will not give up. I've given up on three people in my life. Three people. And I'm upset about all three of them. But I don't feel like they're my fault. Maybe one is, because he really annoys me. But it's back from the other two are definitely, they're not my fault. I don't give up. That's not the way. But here's where I feel like I am closed off and I've got nothing to do here. Here's where I've got a problem. I feel like you have no idea what you can do about it. I feel like no one here has any idea that they can or that there is anything they can do. If I tell you to go to sleep earlier, you won't, and you'll blame it on sleep apnea or that I didn't have a pill or that this thing woke me up. See, you're not going to go to sleep earlier. If I tell you to put your phones away, you'll tell me it's impossible. You don't even know why you should put your phones away. It's about, you don't even realize it. I can't even suggest that, although that's obvious. If I tell you you should be sweating, you should be taking notes, you should bend your back over until you're literally, you have something, you're strained and you have stress in your back, and you have to move your back, your whole body back a little bit in order to stretch it out and do something like that, you won't do it. You'll take it as a joke. That's because to be seen as just like, oh yeah, like I'm really going to do that. It's just not going to be taken seriously. You'll fake it when I walk by. You won't realize that I'm watching you the whole time. But you'll fake it. When I walk by, you'll probably be like that. And that's it. If I tell you they're going to be tested for what you've learned during Seder, and that test is going to count for your grade, number one, you'll fail the test. Number two, you'll beg me for a better grade because it was just a failed test because you didn't know what you were doing. So the guy takes a drug test and thinks he'll pass it. He doesn't pass it. And at the end of the day, he looks at you and he's like, come on. Does it really matter? And then you're going to put me in an impossible position where the person just failed every test of every Seder that he's been to. So now what am I going to do? Am I really going to fail him? Am I really going to give him an F? Am I going to ruin his entire life because he wasn't paying attention to every Seder? I know what I should do. I'm saying, what am I actually going to do? What is that? What's really going to happen over here? He'll complain. I'm just not going to. I don't like complaints, and it's just not going to help anyone. Grades are not the answer, and the least of which. I mean, we're trying to help. We're not trying to hurt you. We're not trying to come against you and be like, well, here's what you do. It's just not going to work. You either take it seriously or you don't. If I lock the doors so that people don't go to the bathroom in the middle of Seder, and that they actually go to the bathroom during Bein Hasdarim, which would make sense, unless you have an unbelievably loose bladder, like you've had seven kids already, and somehow you have to go to the bathroom every 25 minutes, it makes no sense how many times everyone here goes to the washroom, regardless of how many coffees you've drunk. It doesn't make any sense. That's not humanly possible. But if I locked the doors, I would guarantee you people would jump out the windows. They would kill themselves. They would jump off fourth floor windows in order to make sure that they got themselves to the washroom. Or because, oh, that phone call, such an important phone call that it was a wrong number, you run outside. Run outside to go get that phone call. Run outside because it was absolutely so important. There's no way that I couldn't take that phone call in the base measures. I have to do it. There really is nothing I can do when I'm asking you to grow up. Now, I can't force you. I can't tell you that what your life is going to be like otherwise, because I'm not a Navi. I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. I'm just going to tell you, grow up. Being an adult isn't easy. It comes with a lot of issues, a lot of problems, because you can no longer blame somebody else for everything until you get married. That's another issue. It's no longer. You can't get around it no matter what you do. You can't. You could push off marriage as long as you want. You could claim insanity, claim that you're not mature enough yet. You could claim that you don't have, but that's just I hate to put it this way, but a pathetic assessment of your own abilities and your previous accomplishments. Of course you could. Every single person here could get married today. You'd have to work like a dog on yourself. You'd have to change yourself overnight into a person who is a real human being, who can accept the fact that someone is there. There is no such thing as a person over the age of 18 that cannot get married. There is a person who doesn't want to get married or is not ready to get married. But overnight, that could change. Every single one of you have that. And it's all there. There's no question that it's there. You just have to decide, I'm ready to accept responsibility, and I am ready to say sometimes to myself, no. I'm ready to say to myself, no to me, yes to them. I have to do that. I'm telling you to man up. That's what I'm telling you to do. I'm telling you to get up and realize that no one is going to do this for you. This is you, yourself, alone. No one else is going to tell you to stay in Seder and don't walk out for a half an hour at 11 o'clock because Seder starts at 11:30. Be a man. Don't be a little kid who's running away from school because he has recess and no, let's fix the clock a little bit so that the teacher doesn't realize and he lets us out a little bit early and he lets us out a little bit late. That's not life. That's escaping everything your whole life is all about. It's a terrible, terrible way to go about things. And while you're here, while you're sitting in here, no one is going to force you to learn. You either do it or you don't. If you do it, you're a man. If you don't, you're a kid. You're a kid. And that's sad. That's really sad that somebody has to go up to you and say to you, come on, put your head back in the Gemara. Let's go learn again. Put your arm around you and hug you a little bit so you don't go off the derech. And say, come on, you can do this. We can learn together. That's not what should happen. It may be reality, but that's not real. I'm asking you all to grow up. Use your Seder and do it correctly. It's not asking a ton. It's asking you to be a human being. That's it. Nothing else. Just to grow up a little bit and understand what your responsibilities are. Somebody asked me this past week, and I told some of the people in my kobura yesterday. He said, he asked me earlier in the week, do you need proof for Torah? And I said no. And he asked, why don't you need proof for Torah? So he meant, do you need a proof when the Torah says that there are four animals that chew their cud and don't have split hooves and have one of the two simanim? Do you need a proof from that scientifically to show that the Torah is correct? He wasn't asking if the Torah was really good. He asked me that. And I said, no, you don't need a proof to that. He said, why not? I said, simply put, if you believe that the Torah was given on Har Sinai, given to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the greatest of all prophets, by God, if you believe that, there is no need for proof. That it, you're done. Period. If you don't believe that, then any amount of proof in the world will just show that it's a really good book. It doesn't do anything for you. Do you need proof that the Torah is real? You need proof that the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Once you get that proof, everything else is nothing. If I don't understand it or science argues with it, it doesn't matter. I believe this book was given to the greatest prophet from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then what's the question? There's no other proof necessary for such a thing. And if you believe it, I'm saying this to you now, if you believe that, that this Torah was given to us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, if you believe it, then what's the problem? Wake up and realize what you have in your hands, because you won't. It's not going to be there 5 years from now. It's not going to be here 10 years from now. And as you grow up, you're going to realize, what did I lose out on? What did I miss? And you miss a ton. Huge amounts. You don't realize what you're missing. Even then you might not realize what you're missing. And at 120, when you look back at your life and you say, you know, I lived a pretty good life, there will be a but there with a dot, dot, dot. And that but is, but what if I would have utilized my time correctly when I had it? And that could have made all the difference. Everything. See, there's nothing anyone can force you to do here. Nothing. There is a ton that you can force yourself to do. And if you don't believe it, and if this given that I just gave you is not a given part of the equation, meaning, if you don't believe it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, then come up to me now. Do not push this off. If there's any doubt in your head that you don't think the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, that you don't think this Torah was given on Har Sinai, if it wasn't given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not God's Torah, then tell me now. Tell Rabbi Sheinfeld now. Tell one of the Kollel members now. Tell one of the other Rebbeim now. You can't go on like this. Not this way. You can't keep faking it. But if you really believe it, how could you fall asleep during it? How? It's sitting there in front of you. This is God's Word. It's God speaking to you from it. Nefesh HaChayim Perek Daled. He's speaking to you from this. Or He's giving you messages every day. How are you falling asleep? How are you battling? Granted, there's always that needed amount to get with your Chavrusa where you're not going to be able to learn the entire time. But when you're ready, sit down and do it and stop everything else. Just stop. There shouldn't be a phone call that bothers you. There shouldn't be anything else. Because it's not going to come back. I'm not getting back my Kollel days. I want them so badly. I'm not getting them all back. And I felt I did a really good job of making sure that my Siddurim were Siddurim, but I'm not getting them back. And any minute that I wasted then is causing for me unbelievable issues now. Because I'm not as great as I could have been. I can't give Shirim as well. I can't think the same way. I'm missing out on notes that I have. Do you know how upset I am that I'm looking at my notes last night for Parshas Vayishlach? I'm looking from Tashin Samachtes and Tashin Ayin, which is 1999 and 2000, and I missed a shir from a certain Rebbe that I had every other shir, but I missed that week. Why did I miss that week? So I figured it out. My parents came to town that week. I didn't tape it, didn't write it down. It's gone forever. I don't have it anymore. It's gone. Nobody else took notes during that shir except for me. I'm the only one that took the notes, and it's gone. So I missed out. And it's gone. I'm so upset. I'm looking back at it. I'm writing down. And I'm just like, I felt like empty. But what did he say this week? I didn't get anything. It's just gone. Absolutely gone. I'm going to offer one suggestion. This was not a suggestion. This is just a wake-up call. But I'm going to offer one suggestion. One thing that I can without a question, guarantee success with it. Guarantee success. Because I know it's worked for me, and I know it's worked for friends of mine, but I cannot promise you that it'll work for you unless you treat it differently from how you've treated other things that are here. I know, and you all know, that this yeshiva has issues. That the yeshiva has issues in getting people here to be here for 3 siddurim. Yeshiva has issues with understanding its concept of what yeshiva is versus the college, and we both know that. We all know that. Everybody here knows that. And if you want to coast, it's going to happen. But let's try to say, what can you do? You need to prepare yourself. You cannot come into Seder, simply put, after listening to music that is antithetical to everything you're doing in Seder. If you're listening to music that has no shaychus to what you're learning here, that is completely against everything that you should be learning and everything you should be doing, there is no way you'll be able to pay attention. No way. Your mind is sitting there and listening to and the language, the rap, or R&B or rock or anything else that you're listening to, and then you come into Seder and you try to learn Torah, that's bouncing around in your head. There is no way you can concentrate. You have to prepare yourself. You're coming in not to a Gadol, but to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you're sitting down with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in your chavrusa. You cannot come in after just going to the bathroom and just walk inside and be like, I'm ready now. That's not what happens. There has to be a preparation period, a second, a minute, something for you to sit there and say to yourself, what am I doing and why am I doing it? You have to prepare. And I'm just saying for the music part, you really can't come in after listening to a news station. You really can't come in after listening to a sports radio talk show. You have to get that minute going. What am I doing? Where am I? To just jump into Seder is not going to work. To come a few minutes early always works. To sit down for a second, to get your mind moving, what's going on today? What's my plan for today? Where am I going to go? 30 seconds, 20 seconds, 10 seconds of thought. What am I doing during my Seder? That will work. But you have to treat it seriously. You have to treat it seriously. If you don't treat it seriously, if you treat it as a joke, and you just sit down for a second and be like, well, let's see, you could be a lace all your life. This will do nothing. And the suggestion will not help at all. And you're going to come back to me and say it didn't work, and I'm going to say, I know it didn't work. And I have no question that this is not an easy thing to do. But there's no way that you can go and listen to any type of garbage music and go into a Gemara Rashi Tosfos and figure out what they're trying to tell you. In the end, it's going to be up to you. You could pretend you're still a little kid and that your mommy and daddy are going to pull your hands and they're going to bring you to wherever you need to go. They'll motivate you to get out of bed. They're going to motivate you to get into Seder on time. They're going to motivate you to get your Gemara open and to actually look inside and do what you're supposed to do. But you are a thinking human being. You know what life is all about. You know it. People here, I'm looking around the room, I don't think anyone here has this problem, or if it's there, it's really deep inside. And you've been able to overcome it. You know what life is about. You know why we're learning. You know what Torah is. You know when it was given. You know why we're doing Gemara. You may have some questions about it, and that's great. We all need questions. And that's fine. But you know the basic ideas. And you know why you're learning. So do it. Just get up and do it. That's it. You're going to have your down days. Don't let your down days become down weeks. Don't let your down weeks become down months, and chas v'shalom, don't let it be an entire down year. You're going to have down days. Take that day, say, that's an off day. Here's my real day. And make the next day the right day. And if the next day doesn't work out the way you planned it, make the next day. Every day has to be a new everything. Everything. You know, I heard this morning that give me a second. The ninth year of a Yovel cycle, in the ninth month, on the ninth day, in the ninth hour, in the ninth minute, in the ninth second, you can ask for whatever you want. It comes from the, I don't know, from online. That's pretty much where it comes from. Pretty much where it comes from. Somebody's quoting Reb Chaim Vital. That's where it's supposed to be. I didn't know we had Yovels. Do you have any idea? I thought Yovel was gone about 2,500 years ago, but apparently that's there. Do you realize what that is? I was thinking about it this morning. I'm sitting there and I was just, it's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. That this is an unbelievable time, and hopefully it works. Hopefully somebody did something. But the point is that there's always a stoppage point where you can stop and you can say, I'm starting over now. I'm starting over now. You know how Vidoy goes up until Yom Kippur. But if it doesn't work in Yom Kippur, you still got Hoshana Rabbah. So Hoshana Rabbah, you still got Simchas Torah. You know, Simchas Torah, you're the first day of Hanukkah. So the first day of Hanukkah, you're the last day of Hanukkah. Then the last day of Hanukkah, you still got Pesach. Then the Pesach, don't worry, Rosh Hashanah's coming up soon. You're pretty good. You know what that is? Just start over. It's tomorrow now. Start over. Guys, I do believe in you. I always have. We always have. And we do have faith. We know that you know it. We know you can do it. So prove us right. Prove us right. Show us. Show us that you can do more. That you can do much, much more. You should be my Rebbeim. I'm sick and tired of teaching people. I want to sit down in a shir. So sit there. Learn. Be my Rebbe. That's what I want. I'm begging you. I don't want to keep doing this.
do it.
And then, you won't realize what you feel like. You will feel so accomplished, you have no idea how you didn't do this beforehand. We'll stop with that. Have a great rest of the week.